Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
So once we found out that the drugs were not working, it was devastating. And I really got angry at God, and I really questioned his goodness, just because everything we had been praying for, the exact opposite was happening.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And
power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I
are a part of it.
We are not.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
30 years old. Stage 4 cancer. Is it possible to walk that journey and still say, it is well with my soul? That's the reality for Megan Thompson. God did not give her cancer, but he hasn't healed her either. Can you maintain faith in the midst of such hard circumstances? This is chapter 12 of Epic, Megan Thompson's story. So you were newlyweds?
Yeah, so we got married in 2012, and then in 2014, I started having some like chest pain, and my family has a really bad history of heart issues. And so we thought it was a heart issue. And so I had a ton of cardiovascular testing done. Nothing came back negative. Everything came back perfect. I'm a runner. So we had no idea what was going on. I was still having the pain in my left chest area, and we couldn't figure out what it was. My youngest sister got married. And that weekend, we came home. It was in October of 2014, and we watched an NFL game, and it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and everybody was wearing pink, and I just jokingly looked at my husband and said, oh, let's just make sure I don't have a lump. And I found a lump, and I did not have a normal doctor at that time. I hadn't been to the doctor in probably 10 years. I was 27 at the time. Mm-hmm. I never really had any health issues, so I didn't have a normal doctor, but I had been to the ER a week and a half before for the chest pain because I thought it was a heart attack. I didn't know what was going on. The pain was so intense. So they had scheduled an appointment for me to go see the doctor that Monday. So Sunday night, we found the lump. Monday morning, I had a doctor's appointment. So I went into my doctor's appointment, explained to her the pain that I had been having, and kind of told her, nonchalantly, oh, and by the way, I found a lump. And
were you worried about the lump?
No.
Okay.
No. No one in my family's ever had cancer. When you're 27, they talk about lumps all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I was never worried. Mm-hmm. Went to the doctor. She luckily took me very seriously. And she said, well, I'm going to schedule, you know, a mammogram, and then we'll see what happens and goes from there. I was like, okay, still not worried. So I go get my mammogram. They send me back to the waiting room. They come back out and they say, well, we need to do an ultrasound as well. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. So I do my ultrasound, and then they come back and say, we need to do a second mammogram as well. The whole time I was never worried because I was so young. Your breast tissue is usually very dense, and so they can't tell what's going on. So no, I was never worried. I almost joked about it and said it was like a spa day because the Breast Cancer Center was so nice. They gave you hot robes. They gave you chocolate. They had HGTV on. So it was like a spa day, and I got to get off of work for the afternoon. So it wasn't, I was enjoying it almost. So they came back a few days later and told me, after they had done the two mammograms and the ultrasound, we need to schedule a biopsy. They're like, we have no idea what it is, but there is something there and we need to get it checked out. So we do the biopsy. Biopsy results come back on Halloween, October 31st, 2014, as cancer. And so,
were you shocked?
Shocked. I remember my husband and I got the news, and the first words out of my mouth were, I don't have time for this. I think we were both completely shocked. It doesn't run in my family. Nobody's ever had it. And cancer at 27, when I was so healthy, it just didn't make any sense. So we start treatment. We started out thinking that I was stage 1, and we were very excited and talked about just doing a lumpectomy. And we got in further and did some more testing and found out that the cancer had probably spread more than we had expected. And so last minute, my surgeon was like, we have to do a full mastectomy. So literally 24 hours before we go into surgery, we were changing our mind and doing a mastectomy instead of a lumpectomy.
Well, that's a totally different thing to wrap your mind around.
Yes. And so we just did it. And we were never scared. I don't ever remember being scared. I remember not wanting to lose my hair because I knew that was coming. But I was never really scared, which I credit the peace of God and from the army of prayer warriors that we had. So I do the mastectomy. We wait a month and a half until I do chemo because my husband and I are very interested in starting a family still. So we have our eggs removed, our mm-hmm. And we have them fertilized and they're stored in a warehouse somewhere in Michigan or Wisconsin. And then that was in December. So mastectomy was November, egg retrieval, December, and then chemo started in January.
Is that because there's an issue with chemo damaging eggs or what?
Yes.
What or fertility in some way?
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of women, when they go through intense chemo, which is what I was scheduled for, if they're as young as I am, you go into menopause. It automatically puts you into menopause. And so you can come out of it after treatment is done, but some women don't.
Okay.
And so it was very important for us to get the eggs out before we started chemo. So that ended in May. I did 4 rounds of the adriamycin, Cytoxan, which is also known as the Red Devil. And it is the harshest chemo drug that you can get. You can only get so much of it in your lifetime before it kills you. So I did 4 rounds of that, and then I did 4 months of another drug called Taxol.
How was your health during that? How did you respond?
I responded perfectly.
Wow.
I didn't miss a single day of work.
What?
I continued to work 40 plus hours a week. I was blessed. Before all this started, I had just quit my job and switched to a new job. And then within 2 weeks of starting my new job, I found out I had cancer. So my poor boss, I just felt for her so much. And she was so gracious and allowed me to have a flexible work schedule. That was a huge blessing to me in my life because the job I had previously was not flexible at all. And so that was a complete blessing mm-hmm. for us. So mm-hmm. Chemo was hard. I did get sick, but I really handled it really well. I think being as young as I was helped a lot, but I finished the chemo and then I did 8 weeks of radiation every single day. So you do radiation every single day. And a lot of people can have really negative side effects from radiation. I did not. I was very blessed. And so that my skin burned, but that's typical and it wasn't painful. So I was extremely mm-hmm. blessed through that. That was the end, middle of 2015. So August 2015, we stopped all treatment. I started taking an oral pill every day that just kind of blocks estrogen. My cancer feeds off of estrogen to help prevent it from ever coming back. And my husband and I fully believed that was the end of that story. And so we waited a couple of years, no cancer recurrence. Everything looked great. My health was completely restored. I started working out again and gaining muscle back. Everything was really good. And then we decided to have a baby. And I'll cry. So we decided to have a baby. And I stopped taking my medicine per my doctor's orders. And all the research showed actually that when you're younger, if you do get pregnant, you can reduce your risk of the cancer coming back. So it's actually beneficial. It doesn't make sense, but mm-hmm. it can be better. So we began the process of starting a family. And it's when you have your eggs harvested, it's a process. And mm-hmm. so you have to have so many tests done and you have to have like injections and all this stuff. And we had gotten basically to the point where the eggs had been shipped down and they were being thawed and we were getting ready for implant. And it was during this time that my husband and I were working out. We like to do P90X.
Oh, wow.
So very intense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's serious stuff.
So we began to work out and I had some severe sternum pain and it didn't make sense. But I was like, we've been working out really hard. Like I've been mm-hmm. an athlete my whole life. It's probably something, no big deal. So I go to the doctor and I say, I need a X-ray and chemo can make your bones mm-hmm. brittle. And since I was still in menopause, it can make your bones brittle. So we did x-rays. X-rays came back perfect. Nothing showed up on the x-ray. But I was still really nervous about the pain because I knew that breast cancer, when it comes back usually in your bones, your lungs, your liver, or your brain. And so I was really nervous. And so luckily I had, at the same time, since we were in the process of having a baby or getting ready to have the baby, I was meeting with my oncologist very frequently because she needed to monitor me with my blood and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I casually mentioned the pain to her, and she took me seriously and said, well, just in case, let's get, you know, a bone scan done. And so we do that. And then on my 30th birthday, we found out that it was bone cancer, or at least the breast cancer come back in the bones, but we didn't know if it was anywhere else. We had to do a couple more CT scans. It was a nightmare of a situation. My oncologist was on vacation, so the hospital wasn't responding. So I had a situation where I just ended up taking myself to the ER to figure out what the heck was going on. Oh. We found out.
At that point, the plans for baby, everything has to be on hold till you figure out what's going on?
Yeah.
Or what? How does that work?
I was stubborn, and I was convinced that it wasn't cancer because I couldn't wrap my mind around that. So we continued with the baby plans as if nothing were wrong. But then once we found out that it was confirmed cancer, we stopped. We were a week away from egg implantation, which is, in retrospect, it is a huge blessing because if we had been pregnant, I would have carried the baby.
And, yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so on my birthday, we found out, confirmed that it was cancer. We thought it was just in my sternum, which is a really good outlook, a really good prognosis. They actually have clinical studies going on right now that they think if it's just in one or two spots, we can radiate it and you can still be cured. But it was also in my liver, and that's bad. That's really bad. So the whole time we're just confused because we had been praying to God during the whole process the first time. And we felt like he was there with us the whole time, and he was. But we just thought, this is not coming back.
Megan and her husband really thought cancer was behind them, that hard part of their story was over. But now it's back. How do you reconcile a good God with a cancer diagnosis that has a very difficult prognosis? The rest of Megan's story is just ahead on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. If you can't stick around for the rest of the show, you can always listen to the podcast on our website. And if you have a story, share it with us at myfaithradio.com. Today, we're hearing Megan Thompson's story. Here's part two.
So on my birthday, we found out, confirmed that it was cancer. We thought it was just in my sternum, which is a really good outlook, a really good prognosis. But it was also in my liver, and that's bad. That's really bad. So the whole time we're just confused because we had been praying to God during the whole process the first time, and we felt like he was there with us the whole time, and he was, but we just thought, this is not coming back.
Yeah.
So we find out that's in my liver. It's in my bones. We don't know what to do. Our local oncologist, she's great. We love her, but, there's just so much they can do in a smaller community. So mm-hmm. we have a really good friend in Washington, and she pulled a lot of strings, and we got to speak to some very high up individuals in the medical community, Harvard and oncology, their lead professor, who is now working for another company who builds and works on chemotherapy drugs. That's his job. He's the head of research and development in Washington, D.C. for this. So he's very well known in the medical community and has the right connections. So he did a lot of digging for us and found us the best oncologist that we could have at Rochester Mayo Clinic. We talked to him. He believed that my cancer, since it is estrogen receptor positive, we stopped the medicine to have the babies. He believed that's why the cancer came back. So he began me on targeted therapy, it's Ibrance and letrozole. You see it on TV and commercials all the time right now. So we started on that, and he gave us a very good prognosis. He told us that a lot of women are responding very favorably to us. It's not a chemo drug. It's not going to make you sick. And most people can live 3 to 5 years on just this drug, which when you're a stage four cancer patient, all you want is time, because you need time for drugs to be developed, clinical trials, and more information to be discovered. So we were really excited. We're like, yes, I can do this drug for 3 to 5 years. And if that's all we get, like, that'd be awesome. So we start it, and
was this in
August of 2017.
Okay. So that's a fairly quick turnaround that you were able to find that. That's amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
So we started the drugs in August of 2017. By December, we confirmed that the drugs were not working and the cancer had more than quadrupled. So I started out with one spot in my liver and I have 11 now. That was, I think, my breaking point.
I'm curious about your faith at that point.
So leading up to this, surprisingly, my faith had been so strong. I never really wavered. I just kind of clung to Jesus the whole time.
Yeah.
I felt actually very blessed. I was like, these drugs are a miracle. They're targeted just for my people with my specific type of breast cancer. My husband and I, we were very sad and heartbroken, but at the same time, we, like, God's closeness was never doubted. We always knew he was there, and he had been speaking to me the whole time, not in ways I wanted him to speak to me, but just reassuring me that he was there. So once we found out that the drugs were not working and that I actually have an amplifier on my cancer cells that makes it so that I will never respond to any targeted therapy, was devastating. And I really got angry at God, and I really questioned his goodness, just because everything we had been praying for, the exact opposite was happening. And so it's really hard as a 30-year-old to accept the fact that you're dying, and it could be very quickly. Just begin to wonder why, and if the God that you've believed in your whole life is real. And I know that sounds terrible, but...
No, I think it sounds like what anybody would experience in your position. I don't think it sounds terrible.
Yeah. So early on in 2017, in July, when I discovered that it had come back, I really wrestled and asked myself, do I truly believe in this God that I have served my whole life? Because I grew up in the church. I've been blessed to not know any other way but to be in God's grace and goodness. And so, like, I really had to wrap my mind around, like, do I truly believe in God and heaven and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Is this something that I know in my head I believe it, but do I believe it with my whole body and soul? And at that moment, I did. But it is very difficult to love and know who God is and know that he has the power to fix you and hear him say no. And wonder why. The more we learn about my cancer, it's very evident that it's not a genetic disorder that I have. And I don't have, unfortunately, the right mutations that are druggable. So that means my options for treatment are very limited. Mm-hmm. And once you're stage four, that means a shorter lifespan, which may be better. But so it's really hard to understand, like, why can't I be his miracle?
Yeah.
And I could still be, but it's not looking like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that was hard. In December, we found out the drugs weren't working. My doctor told me, my oncologist said, you're the first patient I've had that's never responded to these drugs. So that was hard too. So we go on a break before I start my next round of drugs, which is, I'm on oral chemo now, which means I get to keep my hair, which is a bonus. It's really nice to go out into public and not have people treat you differently. And people have been beyond sweet and generous, but it's just nice when you can sometimes ignore it and just act like a normal human.
Yes.
So we start my new oral chemo, and it's terrible. I don't understand. I responded so well the first time to chemo that I fully expected to respond the exact same way the second time. And I did not. my first two rounds on the chemo, I was extremely sick. My husband and I were in San Diego. He was on a work trip and I was traveling with him, and I was sick the entire time. And you get hand and foot syndrome really bad with this chemo, which
is
where your hands blister and your feet and the bottoms of your feet blister and they turn bright red. It's a really weird side effect. So I had that really bad. And so walking became excruciating, painful. Using my fingers was terrible. And it was a really bad situation. But during this time, I was really starting to I was still mad at God. And so my Bible reading decreased and my prayers decreased just because I'm stubborn. And when I'm mad, I'm probably like normal humans. I don't like to talk to you when I'm mad. During this time, though, I said just a very short, brief, quick prayer to the Lord. And I was like, Lord, just show me your love. Like, I just need to know that you're there still. And so this was in January while we were in San Diego and I was so sick. I started saying this prayer. And it was during that time that I would get random text messages from people that I haven't talked to probably in a couple of years or so. And they would just send me a text message and say, hey, I just want you to know that we're praying for you and we love you and we care about you. So I took those as little signs from the Lord. But it was also during this time that my hometown was planning a benefit for us. And I'll be honest, when they first called me about the benefit and asked me if it was okay if they did this, I was kind of hesitant. I was actually really hesitant simply because I didn't think we needed it. And I didn't think it was something we would need to be worried about financially. We had kind of been through these waters before and our health insurance has been fantastic and we hadn't had to worry about anything really. So we fully expected that the second time as well. But that was actually not the case. And we have tens of thousands of dollars in medical debt right now that we're still fighting. And so while they're planning the benefit, I have a number in my head of what we're going to raise. And I was beyond grateful. I was thinking like $5,000 would be awesome. Like, Jesus, that would be fantastic. It's not going to pay off all our bills, but that would be a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going into the benefit, and the benefit is in my hometown. My hometown is very small. It's like 4,000 people. And there's only one building in the whole town that's big enough to hold a decent crowd, and it can hold 550 people in it. And so the committee had rented out this building, and the closer and closer we got to the event, it became very apparent that we were not going to have enough room at this building. And so during this time is when I'm praying the prayer, God, just show me your love. And I'm still frustrated. And just thinking of him almost made me cry instantly because I felt so betrayed. We get to the event, and there, the night of the event, we are just overwhelmed and shocked. There was probably 900 people there, people that I haven't seen in years, people I didn't even know. Just came out to love and support on my family and me and my husband. And the amount of people there just overwhelmed us. And it was a shocking reminder of how loved we are, and how faithful God is. By the end of the night, we had, like I said, I had that $5,000 goal in my mind, and we had raised over $100,000.
$100,000? Is that what you said?
Yes. And so from that night, I just keep hearing this beautiful reminder of God just saying, like, you think you love me. Let me show you how much I love you. I'm going to blow your mind. And that he did that the night of the event, but he continues to do that over and over. And it's not easier, but it is peaceful. And while my heart is broken, I have been filled with his peace and grace, and I know it because I am not depressed, and I cannot tell you the percentage is insane for how many people, once they're diagnosed with SATOR, go into deep depression or anger.
Sure.
Rightfully so. And so I know that I don't have that to worry about right now just because of God's peace and his grace. And I feel like he's continuing to tell me just to be obedient. I don't understand his plans. I don't get them. I think they're wrong. And I will argue with him. But I think he just wants us to be obedient, and he will be faithful no matter the outcome. I know there's so many people out there who are struggling with real life issues, like difficult life issues, not just my dog drug mud through the right. living room. And if anything, I just want people to know that God is good no matter what. And like, it is hard and it is confusing, but it doesn't mean that God is not still God and that he does not still love you.
After our interview, I asked Megan how we could be praying for her. And she said, pray for a miracle. She said more than anything, she would love to have this cancer gone. But if not that, then pray that she would accept it. If God doesn't grant them a miracle, that she would go peacefully and that she would have the strength until her dying day to say, it is well. About a week after we recorded our interview, Megan had a scan to see if the latest type of drugs were working, and it was good news. The scan showed no new cancer growth. We're so grateful to Megan for sharing her story with us. We believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Tell us about yours at myfaithradio.com. And while you're there, you can check out the podcasts of this and other episodes of Epic and share one with a friend. Today's show was produced by Jason Rakow and Ted Ross. Our theme song was written by Stephen Johnson. And I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.